This is CliffCentral.com. Property,
I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood, that's how you rent it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
You know when you hear buy back the hood that it's time for the one and only Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala. People, how are you? I am good. I'm good, but I'm a little bit sick. I'm coming down with the flu, and so I'm not feeling myself all the way. But we are still gonna have a dope show. I know a lot of you are Decembering and ready to get out there and have yourself some fun. So remember, we are on live and direct from 12 to 1 every Thursday here on Cliff Central. Wait a second. I'm trying to understand. Sorry, guys. I can't hear myself. Oh, now I can hear myself. It's radio, baby. It's podcasting, baby. It's real. So as I said, we're live and direct from 12 to 1 every Thursday. We will be shutting down a little bit to go and recharge our batteries over December. I am so excited. So this is probably going to be our last show of the year. If I can get somebody to come through next week, I will. But I don't know. So I might say bye, I might say not. So you know, Pantula says all, I'll be okay, it'll be fine. So I wanted to say to you guys, I'm so excited about today's show. It's very rare that you meet somebody who's a first in more than one thing. Okay? Most of us are the first to fly to the moon, the first to do something or the other, but it's usually just one thing. This lady that you hear laughing in the background is the first. I'm sucking a lozenge, ne? So don't think like I'm disrespecting you guys and eating while in studio. Gareth Cliff would not allow that, guys. Gareth Cliff would not allow you to eat in studio. By the way, if you want to get the other podcast, please go to cliffcentral.com. We've been live and direct since September. Also, you can go to our Facebook page, Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, and get to download them and listen to them in your own time. I've got Jabu Siriti, who is here. She's originally from my spiritual home, which is KZN. And she's been in Joburg now since 2006, living in Johannesburg. However, first of all, welcome, Jabu.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
She looks sensational. You'll be able to see what she looks like later. Yeah, we are going to take pictures. What were you thinking?
I hoped you wouldn't.
Never that. I won't let you get away with that at all.
Okay. All right.
You're going to have to take pictures.
Let's see if I warm up to it.
You have to. So, guys, Jabu Siriti is the commercial director at GVK Siyazama, a construction company.
Yes.
Now, the company was established in 1994, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
But it has its roots going back as far as 1960.
Oh.
When it was originally founded by, you know, the G and the V and the K?
Yes.
By those guys.
Oh, okay. And then in 94, it just obviously its reincarnation.
Nazok.
To say, you know what, new democracy.
Yes.
New.
Let's not wait for BE to come through. Let's get going with this already. It's about the new South Africa.
Exactly.
And that's how then Siyazama was born.
So, not only, so is it pre-94.
Yes.
So in almost about, we can say about 50 plus years, you are the first woman director in the company, and you are the first black woman director in the company. Can I just, you know, if I had a hand clap, I need Polisa to go and find me a hand clap. If I had a hand
no,
clap,
we
I'd
need
clap
to talk to Gareth
you.
Cliff about that.
Exactly. Maybe. We'll find and we will clap for you. I mean, that is a huge achievement. Isn't like, you know, people who make strides on behalf of other people. You are that. And I'm so privileged to be talking to you. We've had this property feature for an incredibly long time. Oh, we found a hand clap, right? So can we just give a hand clap to Siyazama's first black... Yes! Technical producer extraordinaire, Palesa. I love you, love you, love you. Don't be dreary of it.
No, she's on point. I take her back with me? We're always looking for talent. Hey, resourceful, hey?
So how does... First, I know that this is something that you are passionate about.
Yes.
But how do you... What is the path when you are a child that finds you ending up in construction?
It's actually a... not a typical cliche in terms of stories about one's career, you know, how I always dreamt. No, this is not one of those.
Yeah.
This comes from a background, I suppose, that talks a lot about the history of a lot of our Black South Africans, especially our parents. My dad obviously didn't have the same privileges as what our generation now finds it has. And it actually... This was his dream. I was listening to one of your podcasts talking to one of the architects. I think it was last
week. Yes, it was last week. Yes.
And she spoke
phenomenal.
About, yes, the left brain and the right brain. And I could hear the synergy between the two of you. Mm. There's so much you identified with. I'm actually quite the artist. I've got a lot of the artistic side in me. And I used to spend a lot of time after my homework doing designs, drawing, and that's always been my passion. But at the same time, I was very much in tune with my left side of the brain, I call it. So I was very good at maths, very good at physics. And so it lent itself to me being open to pursuing a career that wasn't just limited to me pursuing the one side of the brain or the other side of the brain. It was actually my dad's dream to become a quantity surveyor, but he couldn't. And when it came that period when I had to choose what I wanted to do, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not ready. I want to take a gap year. What gap year? You know, there's no such thing.
I think that's the thing about Black people. We're just like, oh, gap year.
You know that.
Exactly.
So, and then I said, okay, look, I'll pursue this. If I like it, I'll continue with it. If I don't, I'm going to do my... fashion design or anything in the space of art, whether it's architecture, but I'll pursue something along those lines. But I found, you know what, I actually enjoyed this. When I did my first year, I actually excelled. Then I got taken up by Group 5 as an intern student, and then there was a bursary. And right through my time in KZN...
Did you choose Group 5 or...
They chose us. So what would happen is they would come to the institution and say, right, give us your best 5 and we want them to come through for interviews. And at that time it was me and another young gentleman. His name is Mohammed. I can't remember his surname. But anyway, between all 5 students who were selected at the time, they then chose the 2 of us. And since then... I think Mohammed is still down in KZN.
Wow.
We keep chatting every now and again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you get into this program. And so the thing about internships, what I like about them is that you either know that you're going to, you know, either you're going to like it or you're not going to like it. So once you were in there, because after the theory is now the work. Were you still like, I like this or I don't know. And obviously nothing to do with the company. I'm just talking about you as a human being.
Yes. Excuse me. So I think when it finally hit me, you know what, I can actually do this, was a moment on site standing on, I think it was 19 meters.
Jeez.
There's a couple of floors and you're standing at the edge of this and you're looking down and you think, so is that the view from the top? Is that what it
I
looks
see what
like?
You did there.
That was a reality check for me. And it's something that I realized, you know what, I can do this. And since then, I've stayed the course and, learned the lessons. And I'm continuing to learn the lessons. But it's been a lovely journey. Construction is a territory not necessarily followed by many, especially women and especially Black women. But I think if you really dedicate yourself and you really stay the course, there's a lot of benefits.
So here you are. You start the job, you know this is what you want to do, okay? Now, there are many people who then think, and obviously not everybody's meant to be an entrepreneur, but did you ever have, before we go through your current role, but did you ever have a point where you're like, actually, I want to go off and do my own thing? Did that ever come through in your mind? Because I think it's, to be the first anything, it means you have shown great ability. So you could have just gone,
No, true. That moment has come. I think I'm blessed in a sense that I'm in a company that allows me to tick a lot of those boxes that, you know, give you that fulfillment of being able to have the freedom of as though you're running your own thing. Yeah. So there's a lot of latitude. I mean, it's responsible, obviously. There's confines that mean, obviously, the shareholder interests that I've got to protect. But I think from that feeling of wanting to pursue my own thing, I think the company that I'm with now, and I've got to give thanks to a lot of people who've made that possible and continue to make that possible, there is that feeling that, you know what, there's an entrepreneurial spirit about being in that organization that constantly pushes you to push the boundaries and to extract a lot of value in whatever we get into, whether it's a project or it's a proposal or any business of the day.
So does that mean, because you're being vague and I feel like you're doing it deliberately. I'm a journalist.
I thought so, I evaded that one
no,
nicely.
No, you did not. I ask questions for a living.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, and I asked her nicely to be gentle with me.
So you're saying it is something that is top of mind.
Yes.
So it is something that will probably in the future, whether immediate or further, that we'll see happening.
Definitely.
Okay.
How's that for an answer?
I gave you the answer. You cheated in an open exam.
Okay.
Can you take me through what, first of all, I'm excited to hear that because I think that we need more and more black women in corporate spaces.
Mm.
I think South Africa, no matter what you hear about it, is still not transformed. The fact that only now at this time do we have...
And we're still celebrating it.
And we're still celebrating it, yeah. And you,
and
I'm sure you'd like to sit at a board meeting and be and see more than one, and see somebody else who looks like you, maybe two other people.
100%.
But in any case, people like you help drive the
agenda.
The agenda. So yes. I think that it's a wonderful thing. I'm excited to hear that's the thing that's percolating in your mind. But your current role.
Yes.
What does? Because you're the first quantity surveyor we've had on the show,
and you've
talked. So we've talked to all kinds of people previously, and quantity surveying obviously is a huge part of property.
Mm.
But what does that actually mean? It's, you know, you look at jobs and you'll see that's one of the jobs that gets advertised a lot. But I don't think people actually understand what a quantity surveyor does, because that's your...
We can't bricks and mortar. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
That's how we get teased. You know, every profession has got its own...
Yes, girl. No, I told you I do that as well. So, you know what, guys? This is what I love about doing live broadcasting. Is that... So, I say to Jabu, try not to hit the table because the mics pick it up. But I do it myself because when you're passionate, so you know what? Just let it be.
Oh, thank you for the freedom. Because
just let it be. Just let it be. This is real time. This is podcasting. This is real life. This is, listen, guys, come on.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. But having said that, we're going to try not not to bang the table.
Myself included.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
every profession does. Like, journalists are known to attend the opening of an envelope and the closing of a tap, you know, so and like free things.
Look, in a nutshell, you get two kinds of quantity surveyors. You get those that look after the interest of the owner of the property, and then you get the ones that look after the interest of those building for the owner. And that's the space I'll operate in. Largely gained my experience in the contracting space working for contracting firms.
So how would it be different for somebody who's looking after the interest of the owner?
Okay, so... The real foundation of the profession comes from saying, in any development or any project, you'd need someone to keep stock of the financial interests of the project, be it whatever contracting party, be it the client or the contractor.
Right.
And that's where we come in as quantity surveyors. We look after the financial interests and the contractual, within the contractual confines of that project and whatever contract has been entered into, to make sure that each party does not fairly benefit or gets unfairly prejudiced.
Oh, I see.
So part of that means accounting for the fact that enough funds have been allocated, and that if there's any changes that are required, that is equitably accounted for, and that obviously whoever's benefit is being looked after gets the best out of the situation.
Oh, I see.
So if you're looking to build a house and you don't know how much you need to put aside to build such a house, you would need to contract our services. And that will be the professional quantity surveyors, ones that are registered with the various bodies, and say, right, I've got this beautiful house that, who was your previous guest last week?
Guys, it's so terrible. I was actually thinking that I need to go back to my notes so I can remember.
Yes, I'll tell but you the now. Architect lady that you had, and she's done this beautiful design for you.
Yes, from Zuza Architects.
Zuza, yes. Yes. So she's done this beautiful design, and you're thinking, oh my God, I can't wait to get started.
Yeah.
And then there comes that bloody quantity surveyor telling you, you know what, you can't afford it. Trim down, trim down, trim down, trim down. And that's essentially what we do on the back.
Mpumi Zuza. Mpumi Zuza from Zuza Architects.
Oh, you know how I am. You know, it's like, I need to know the name.
Yeah, it was going to bother me as well. We had such a wonderful interview.
Yes.
So now, let me ask you. Obviously, you work for, and we are going to get into your day-to-day.
Yeah.
But how would I know that the quantity survey is legit? Like how, especially as a homeowner, if I'm not an organization, how would I know that... whoever it is that says to me they can help me build this house is actually the right person for it.
Okay. Look, there are obviously institutions that they've got to subscribe to. One of them being the Association of South African Quantity Surveyors.
Mm-hmm.
And that person will also carry a PR number that is basically giving them the license to practice as a registered quantity surveyor.
So that's a document when you're looking at acquiring the services.
Give me your PR number, please. And that's how you know.
And
then you can verify that with the association to check if it's relevant or legit and it's up to date.
So I'm talking to Jawu Sirithu, who is the commercial director at... Do you even say the GVK or do you just say Siazam?
We say both because we do pay our respects to our founding fathers as well.
Yes.
I mean, Siazama wouldn't exist without the GVK.
So
we do say GVK Siazama.
So I'm talking to Jawu Sirithu, the commercial director at GVK Siazama Construction. She is the company's first female director, and I love the fact that she's black while doing it. Yes. And if you are not able to listen to the podcast as we are live and direct now until 1 p.m. here on Cliff Central, remember you can download us anytime, anywhere, no matter where you are. The links will be up as soon as I switch off the mic. You can also go to our Facebook page, Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, to take a look at she's so well dressed. It's I'm just saying the voice matches the looks. I know people will think that I'm choosing people based on their looks. No, but it's based on
who they
are.
You do.
So you say, being a woman in this industry, you need to adapt to your environment.
Mm.
Otherwise, you cannot grow. Mm. I felt moving to Gauteng would help me achieve my ambitions in life.
Mm.
So We'll answer the geographical movement after, but what have been some of your greatest lessons as a woman to allow you, as you say, to how have you had to adapt as an individual so that you are able to grow? I mean, what are the whether it's a change of the mind or behavioral change or what kind of adapting did you have to do so you could continue thriving?
It starts here, your attitude.
Yeah.
And staying humble.
Mm.
Because with everything and anything that you want to achieve, you need people around you.
Mm.
And you cannot do that without humility.
Mm.
Whether that's a change or a mindset shift, I don't know if it's that as such, but one needs to have that constantly. Mm. Keep that in check.
Mm.
Because this is one industry where you cannot necessarily do it all by yourself. That's why it's one of the highest employers. If you look at our country and the NDP, and if you look at where a lot of the skills development happens, it's in the built environment. Why is that? That's because it's still very much a people-driven industry that requires a lot of your all level of skill, from your labor, general labor that's going to dig a trench, up to your CEO who can't make a single move without the people beneath him. And I'm in the same boat, so I need people around me, and that's why, for me, as I say, humility is key.
And as a woman, I mean, I obviously don't want you to blast people, but what are some of the challenges that you face? First of all, did you walk in and you were just, people didn't even notice that you're black or that you're a woman?
Sometimes they don't. Sometimes I'm seen as one of them. I've got two of my own and they're still.
Balls. That's what you're talking about.
I didn't realize we were free to say that.
Oh, we're very free to say that. We are unrestricted. You can even say shit on the show if you want. It's that kind of a show.
Oh.
So just be free. Don't worry.
Okay.
It's not like normal.
It fits in very well to the industry I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. So was there a difference? Did you walk in and feel a sense or?
Yes. Yes, very much so, especially back in the day. I remember being moved out of one of the properties that was rented out by the company. At the time that I worked for, this was a different company, when I was out on a country project. And it happened to be at that point that I was living with one of two senior employees, and he was a white male Afrikaans senior staff member. And I had to move because there was an issue about me as a young black woman living with him in the same house. And then I had to move into
from
a makeshift.
Him, from his side, or just generally people were uncomfortable?
No. I guess I'm reciting an example of how much we've changed as a country and the industry in general, from being so intolerant of diversity and being able to coexist in the same spaces to now where...
But I'm thinking your reason to move, was it to keep the peace or was it to keep your peace of mind? Do you know what I mean?
I think we can say it's a mixture of both. Yeah. You know, we have a hard, long...
Completely.
History,
completely.
You know. And so I welcomed the change myself when it happened because it was a very uncomfortable situation. And whether or not what I moved to was of a lesser, you know, standard than what I'd been brought up in didn't make any difference because that's how much I myself wanted to be out of that uncomfortable and unhealthy space. But things have changed drastically since then. I mean, I can have a phone call conversation with one of our colleagues and the same white Afrikaans male colleague about anything and everything under the sun, and we could be like brothers and sisters. So there's been so much progress, I'd like to say, honestly, but it's still not enough. You know, it's still not enough.
So who are the people in your life who've kept you... on course, whether professionally, who've helped you go, you can be, whether that's mentorship, I think you will choose what the words are, because we need people professionally and we need people personally who have helped you say,
shape.
Directorship is not hard, Nganwam, you'll be fine, get in there and do the things. Who are the people? You don't have to mention people by name if you're worried about forgetting somebody. But, you know, people that stick out, the kind of people who have helped you get to this point.
Okay. Let's go back a step. You know, from growing up and seeing the inspiration or the desperation around you, it starts there. My family, my mother, she likes to say, Musadi utswara tipa ka bohali.
Yes.
She's Sotho, by the way,
yeah.
My dad is Zulu. And that's a woman that's kept our home tight and a unit, even under the most difficult of circumstances. And I look up to her immensely. Moving out of the home environment, you then go into the big bad world out there and you start meeting different people from various backgrounds. And you know, I've got a lot of friends in the industry. Some have fallen off the way by the wayside and some have stayed the course, and those are all people who shape our perspective into life in general. Mm. And that helps you adjust back into the space where you've got to deal with people 24/7.
Mm.
And if you have that understanding that people are different, people will behave in a certain way, and for you to extract value out of them, you've got to understand and be patient with them. And that's one of my, the things I've got to admit, it's constantly a project that I've got to work on.
Your patience.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not alone.
So, and then obviously in the workspace, you know, there's been various people who've shaped and influenced my outlook towards my career, and I think also the trajectory that I'm on. And I keep saying the name, but my current CEO, honestly, he's one of the most progressive people I've ever met.
Evan Maybug.
That guy.
Mm.
One of the most progressive people I've met. And, you know, he comes with an entourage of people around him as well. Through him, there's been introductions to everybody else that's also been on a major path with me of seeing me where I am today. I mean, I talk about the group MD, Dumisani
Madi.
Amelia, yeah, who facilitated this thing. She herself is another, you know, I've got to give shout outs to her, girl power.
Yeah.
Amelia, hey. also there, and then my coach. And that's been a recent development. A career coach and now a very good friend, Avril Robson.
Mm.
And then another very important lady. We're not in contact much. Nontutuzela. Now, I hope you're going to find her and speak to her. Nontutuzela.
Well, you're going to give me her number.
I'm going to give you her number. Wherever you are, come out.
So, was she quite instrumental
in
your career?
Yes.
Why the importance of getting a career coach? You were saying it's a sort of a new facet of your life.
Yes.
And is there a difference between a career coach and
a shrink?
I was going to say a mentor.
Get it right, people.
Okay.
She is a career coach.
Yeah.
It's critical. If anything I can impart today is that, you know, a career coach helps you understand you better than anyone else and helps you look forward. So it's not enough this bullshit.
I told you, you can say bullshit. You can even say fuck on this show. Okay? Please don't worry.
Oh, can I use that as a comma and a full stop?
Yes, of course you can.
I'm in my world.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is, you know, this is what I love about percussion. This is what I love about Cliff Central. One of the things
is the
freedom for people to be themselves. Mm. I did a radio show because I was being interviewed. And I had been working here for so long, I had forgotten that in normal radio, people don't say shit, okay? And it was an early morning show. And
what are the repercussions, may I ask, when you do say something?
The presenter, I just went, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I do another show. And he just skipped over it. He was just like, that didn't happen.
He did what you do. You made it easy.
Yeah,
let's keep it going. Let's flow.
Just keep it moving. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Jabu Soritus, the commercial director at GVK Siyazama Construction. She's a girl originally from KwaZulu-Natal, KZN. Where exactly in KZN?
In Nanda New Town.
Oh, in Nanda New Town.
Yes.
Yeah, you could hear the way she started. Teddy's in the room taking images. You can go to our Facebook page, leaving it up with me, Lera Toshabala, to see pictures of what this lady looks like. The first Black woman director for GVK Siyazama. It's just phenomenal. So you were telling us about the importance of having a career coach.
Mm. As I was saying, a career coach helps you develop your and understand, I suppose, your core drivers.
Okay.
And helps you shape that into a way that works for you in reaching your ultimate goals. So, for example, we don't talk much about the future in terms of skills and advantageous skills that one needs in order to succeed in their career. And that's becoming more and more a bigger criteria than your technical competencies and your ability to, I don't know, measure correctly, as would be the most measured technical ability as a QS. But more and more, it's about the softer skills. It's about your ability to be resourceful, your ability to be agile, your ability to stay focused and to be deadline-driven and innovative, all of those things. And that becomes more and more a founding space in how I then approach any one activity or any one project or any one thing I get myself immersed into.
Mm.
Knowing that, okay, here's my red flags. Impatience. Hold on now.
Okay. Bring it back.
Bring it back. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, I wish I could actually show you some of the things I'd actually written down. It's just we're going over so many things now. But look, it's...
You still can. So, Jabu, just before she came here, she said she wanted to be prepped. I said, you know, Jabu, we are having a conversation, so you can read them out. Because also, you know, in real time, these things will come to you, and
yes.
then you'll be able to think, oh, you know what, this is important.
I should have said that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my pet hate. Should have, could have, would have. Just say
no.
to me, I did.
All it means is that you'll just... You'll be given an excuse to come back again onto the show. It is because you were saying that in your mind, is there a difference between a career coach and a mentor?
Yes, mentor I think is more focused on the specific environment and an enabling environment where you are at the moment. For example. Yeben, as a coach, as a mentor, can only be a mentor within the space where we are now. Am I making
yes.
sense?
So, I think that's what you were going into, that a career coach is essentially saying to you, what is almost the roadmap for your career and you as a human being? Because we're constantly evolving as people.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that happens when you reach a particular age is that you then start to realize how important it is to start to evolve in your career. So you see a lot of people in their late 30s wanting to change careers completely. And
yes.
it's such a traumatic thing because you hadn't thought about it. You hadn't thought about your evolution as a human being.
And it all goes back to, you know, that whole hierarchy, Maslow's,
yes.
you know, self-actualization.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's where the career coach fits in, you know.
Yeah.
And it's teaching you to master your own self habits, beliefs, and orientation on in terms of your goals and, you know, your communication skills, being self-aware and conscious constantly, because those are the things that now take you from, you know, that level of being technically competent to being a master of your own destiny in any space, in any environment.
Is there more?
She's
found her notes, ladies and gentlemen. Jabu Suriti, the commercial director, GVK CSM Construction, has found her notes and she's talking about her career coach. And I think it's people often say mentor, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you getting a mentor, but it's very essential also to find somebody who's a career coach because it's about where you want to be, not where you are now,
yeah.
but also how you as a human being, how where you are right now as a human being could possibly propel or hinder you in the future, so you can work as I was saying on your if patience is your thing, like with her, that's the thing you work on. Have you found more notes?
I did. Right.
Yes.
Let's just sum it up quickly. So, gives you an understanding of your own career and your work perspective. Identifying your own profile, either in the space where you are or where you want to be, and saying, I as Lerato aim to be here.
Yeah.
What brand do I want to build for myself in order to get here?
Yeah.
And helps you identify all of those things that then mean you've got a project that helps you build up that whole brand to where Lerato wants to be. Okay. Help you become clear and focused on what your goals are and what your career aspirations are. Because sometimes we all have this vague idea of what we want to be, what we want to do, but what do we put it down to? Let's now list it, you know? And giving you perspective on your own personal situation as well, because that constantly is a foundation that will help you deal, help you get out in the world with the right attitude. And then obviously implementing successful strategies around that goal. And then help you identify as well if you're in a space that doesn't make that happen. Because sometimes we like to hold on, especially us as women. We know it's going to work out. No, it's going to change. don't hold on to things that are not working.
Oh my God, you have been brought in to speak to me. Like, we're gonna have a conversation of air. That you are actually speaking to me, because you are speaking to my soul. We'll talk about, because I can't talk about this. I had an epiphany yesterday. And
is it?
Like,
was I in your dreams?
Well, you will be now. But that was the sentiment of like not being too. Isn't when you're meant to just let go,
let it go and
step out on faith and just be like, you know what, onto the next one. You know what I mean?
There's a reason. There's a song about that.
Exactly. Yeah. So wow, okay, we'll come back. I'm just.
Was that an aha moment?
It's not even a aha moment. It's an affirmation. You know when you decide on something, but then you think, oh, maybe I'm being too.
You're a spiritual baby.
Yeah. Yes, I am. Yes. I'm like, somebody was like, she's going to come in and read a note that's going to free her from this thing that she's been thinking about. So speaking about the spirit and people, I am currently working in the digital space where I'm realizing there are so many things that are going to be automated. And one of the things you said was that your business is a people business.
Yeah.
Are there technological advances that you think are going to end up getting in the way of that people? Look, ultimately, in the end, you always need somebody who understands what kind of brick needs to be put here. You know, you always, the human element will never be
completely
be lost. Mm. But what kind of technological advances are happening in the industry, either to make it better or, you know?
It's the slowest industry that in terms of technology
advancement.
It is the slowest. Yeah. But I suppose
that's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing if you consider the unemployment rate.
Yes,
and then
especially
I keep listening
country.
To some of the podcasts of another radio station, and then there's this gentleman who goes on, you say you're employing people, making 100 people dig a hole, yeah, and another 100 people backfill a hole. Yeah, that's not giving jobs. That's keeping people busy. Unfortunately, in this country, that in itself is necessary if you've got the unemployment rates that we have.
Mm. It's there's nothing wrong with improving people's skill set, especially in a country where it was never transferred.
100%.
So I think we have some people in this country have a tendency to be flippant about things we shouldn't be flippant about.
You know, and we've got to constantly remind people not to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's the slowest developing industry in terms of technological advancements. And even in the professional space where I am in now, I mean, I'm wrestling with some of my guys. I say, guys, we need to move on. We need to move with the times. We need to have, you know, be able to operate from a cloud. This thing of constantly relying on a server or whatever, it's not on. And it's something we've got to embrace. The world is moving in that way.
Yeah.
We've got to embrace, but there'll never be a complete loss, luckily for us, in our industry of that human element. You always need someone to press that button. Even if there's an app or a program, there'll always be a need for somebody to press that button and make sure it's done.
I think digital is meant to make our lives easier, not to obliterate.
Not to replace.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What does a typical day in your life look like?
Okay.
As a director, are you looking at board reports? Are you looking at profits and losses? Are you looking at the financial health of the business? So I'm sure it's all of that.
It's all of that. But more importantly, my kids as well.
Yeah.
I've got two young ones.
Yeah.
The one's just turned 9, and my baby girl, she's currently at home. And then my son, 2.
Yeah.
So the day starts with him. The one won't move out of my bedroom. God
forbid.
Yes!
I know. Saturday morning.
That
Jonas
call.
Sleep.
Oh,
like,
that 5 o'clock call. Mommy!
Yeah. You don't need somebody to wake you up.
I don't need an alarm.
Yeah, you
no.
don't. You
okay,
don't.
So it starts with him, and then the morning rush just get the baby girl at school, and then from there to the office or out of town, catching flights. Look, I'm blessed in that I've got a partner. Oh my goodness, I cannot believe I haven't mentioned him in the people who shaped my life. Excuse my love.
You're lucky we have another 15 minutes.
You know,
you would have gotten
I would have been sleeping alone tonight. Anyway,
exactly.
No, that guy is my biggest cheerleader. I don't think wonderful. I would be where I am without him. From there, it's the grind. Okay. A lot of my work involves traveling out of town, constantly chasing an aeroplane, getting to a foreign outside. I mean, I've got a project we're trying to hand over, and we're just having problems with, you know, skills in the area, getting electricity supply out in the area.
Outside of...
It's actually northern KZN, okay. So it's a 3-hour drive from the airport. And we've just done another beautiful one, and I'll show you the pictures here. A school for kids with special needs in northern KZN as well. It's the first of its kind boarding school for kids with special needs in Hlahlwe. And it was started by this woman who had a passion, along with some private game reserve people who sponsored her. And it was 2 little classrooms and a park home. And the kids would sleep there at night. And in the morning, they'd wake up and they'd make food in the same container, sort of park home, makeshift building. And it was the saddest thing I'd ever seen in my entire career, how what a change would make in those kids' lives in the 14 months that we were there. And it was probably the most fulfilling project I've ever participated on. I'm hoping that... I mean, the last time I was there, I think it was a year ago, hoping that, you know, one day we can talk about a child that has been through the schooling from grade R up to grade 12 from that school and have a good story to tell about that school. So it involves a lot of traveling, going out to projects, making sure the commercial interest of our projects is well looked after and that we constantly looking to extract value. And to advise our clients as well of, you know, possible ways of mitigating whether risks, if there may be, and cost-saving measures, if there may be, and, you know, time as well, because everything revolves around time. A good quality product delivered on time.
Because people are promised that they'll move into a building if it's a work building or a house.
Yes.
Timings are everything.
Timing is everything. Yeah. In our industry, I mean, it's the hardest... the hardest thing we've been hit by now, with the skills constantly being exhausted, and with the import as well of, you know, your unskilled migrants, and the cheap labor that everybody's chasing, is that you're losing that skill, you're losing that ability to deliver quality products on time. But look, it's also linked to the competitiveness of the industry, where constantly with the influx of all these fly-by-nights, you having to compete with people who aren't necessarily skilled.
Which I must remind you again that, as Jabu said, that you need to ask your quantity surveyor for their PR number, I think you said, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So this is another thing that you need to remember. That's why this show is so important, for people to know that if you have somebody who says they are going to build you a house, that they can do it, you're like, okay, show me your PR number.
PR registration
number, which I think you said they get from the Association of Quantity Surveyors of SA. So just I wanted to touch on that for people who are just like, oh my gosh, what did she say? You know, it's important. Yeah, it's important to get somebody who's, because that'll be money lost that you can't necessarily.
You know, some people dread the idea of even engaging a quantity surveyor at the onset of their projects, and they actually regret it later, because a quantity surveyor is key in you understanding what is your budget, what can you get done. And many people falsely make themselves, you know, get into a project thinking, I can do this. And then even where I'm staying at the moment, we stay in a complex where there's a lot of houses that are still coming up. And you see a lot of these massive grand houses, and 6 months down the line, they're standing. And they stand for a good year and a bit, because people have bitten more than what they could chew. But had you just downscaled a little bit and, you know, given yourself room to move, because, yes, there are going to be changes. Yes, there are going to be, ooh, I saw this on Grand Design.
Yes, you know, I love that shop.
I love it too.
Did you and your husband build your own house?
Yes, we did, yeah.
Oh, that's so
we
nice.
Built our own little starter pack. And we did it in such a way that, you know what, within the pool of money that we had, It is a comfortable space that's designed just for us. And we would live there and make sure our kids can grow up in an environment that they would thrive in.
Yeah, I'm totally jealous of that.
No, 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 don't be. Please don't be. It's a starter pack, as I said.
No, but the idea that you can customize your own place. Yes, you know, most of us get into a structure and it's already done. That's why Grand Designs appeals to me so much. It's this idea that you can customize your own.
You can still do that even with an already built home. You know, you can always...
Why do you think I'm keeping your number? I'm still
talking. Right on. Guys, we need to get this going. I've got a business to...
Since I'm a dealer,
hey,
you know what I wanted to ask you. By the way, you're still talking to Jabu Siriti, commercial director at DVK Siyazama Construction. She is a girl from KZN who moved to Joburg, and I wanted to touch with only 10 minutes left. But where does the time go?
I know, I can't believe.
And you were worried about an hour.
I was nervous.
Exactly, because you think like, oh my God, what you gonna say for a whole hour? Why did you move? Was it a situation where obviously
FOMO.
But also Joburg is the country's biggest metropolis, right?
Happening, yes.
So, and I mean, I think it was 10 years last year of you being in Joburg. I think it's 11 years this year.
Yes.
Has there been a marked, obviously now you're a director, just saying, but like, has there been a marked shift in the way you look at just your career since moving cities, or it's neither here nor there?
Okay, without disrespecting the progress, it hasn't gotten to my head to the point where, right, this is it. There's still a lot of work to be done, and there's still a lot of work that I've got to do in bringing a lot of young girls behind me along and saying, right, and you know, they probably never see this or never really get to experience it, you know, the tough love that I give, because it's not easy to be where I am. Nobody gives you a break and says, oh no, it's okay, you didn't know, you'll try again tomorrow. No. And sometimes it's easy to let the sisters fail. That's okay, they can move out of the industry.
Exactly.
Let them fail to write.
Yeah.
But someone's got to keep them interested, keep them on course.
Yeah.
And so I believe my job is not done until, you know, as you said earlier on, I can sit in a boardroom and there's
You're looking at somebody else who's brown, you know,
and has
jugs,
has things on the chest, you know.
Teddy, keep calm.
The tongue is out.
He's like, oh my God,
what's happening
with me and Jabu are touching ourselves at the moment. Not like that. This is not Freaky Friday, but until next year.
It's December. It is a freaky Thursday.
Okay, here's the one thing. You're the only guest I'm going to ask this, particularly because I have asked this, particularly because we haven't had somebody with such a high important position and family life.
Mm.
How do you balance? How do you not have this guilt? You have a 2-year-old.
Mm.
How do you not have this guilt when this week you're in KZN, next week you're in the Mpopo? How do you, and you did mention how important your partner is, but how do you keep that balance? Do you keep it balanced, or do you just forgive yourself every other day for just not being...
Wing it.
Yeah.
Wing it. No. Look, on a serious note, it's about prioritizing.
Mm.
And it's about accepting certain things and not necessarily going to be 100%. And I think this is where I make a distinction about excellence and perfection.
Mm.
You cannot seek perfection constantly, but you have to seek excellence.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to remember that forever. Okay. Because I live by the quote by Aristotle,
yes,
about excellence,
yes,
that you are what you repeatedly do.
Yes.
So excellence is not an act, but it's a habit.
Mm.
And whenever people say they're perfectionists, I always go, because I'm just like, you're seeking the impossible. It is not possible.
It is not. Okay.
So this is the first time somebody's explained it properly. That
the two are mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
Okay. And so it's about prioritizing. I probably don't go around saying, please excuse me, but I won't be able to start work by a certain time because I have to be doing that every single day.
My
kids come first in the morning. Work. Oh, we're banging the table again.
Don't worry. Like I told you, this is life.
No. So, you know, if there's an ballet concert, I'm there. Mm. If there's a birthday party that I'm in out of town for, I'm on the earliest flight back to try and catch what's left of the day. Mm. Okay. And it's about, as I said, prioritizing. You can't do it all. You simply cannot do it all. But when you are there, be present.
Yeah, be there.
Be there 100% and give it your best.
Yeah.
And when you're not there again, you're not there. Okay, switch off.
Yeah.
There are going to be times when you're going to have to be flexible. So be flexible about it and surround yourself with an environment that enables that flexibility. Yeah.
And as you say, your partner is also very important. Whoever you choose needs to
understand that. Choose wisely.
Yeah. Okay. I can't say it enough.
I can never say it enough.
Because that guy is going to hold your hand on days when you're just like, I cannot. And he's going to be like,
exactly. Exactly. Just, you know, just. It's not that that person completes you. They're just your other half.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, how wonderful is she? Okay, so here's the thing. Somebody's listening right now. They think they want to get into construction. They would like to get in touch with you. How do they get in touch with you? Please give an email address that you don't mind people spamming you on. Or you can even give the company's email address.
I don't mind.
Okay.
It's Jabu, Jabu, S for Seriti, at gvk.co.za.
So one more time for the people so you guys can hear, it's Jabu, Jabu S, so it's J-A-B-U-S, S for Seriti. Seriti is spelled S-E-R-I-T-I-T-H-I. Remember, please spell her name properly. I have the thing. If you spell it incorrectly, then you're
you've
just
lost my interest. But
yeah, I'm just like, delete. Okay, now the last thing before you go.
Yes, ma'am.
Somebody's thinking they want to get to where you are. Mm-hmm. What would you say are the three qualities every quantity surveyor, no matter their color, no matter where they're from, no matter their sex, that they need to have? What are the qualities that you need to possess to do this job and to excel at this job?
Dedication.
Okay.
Resilience. And being resourceful,
because I'm sure there's going to be times when you're going to have to rub two sticks that are wet together and hope to make a fire.
Find a clap, a clap sound somewhere. That's why I'm saying I'm taking this lady back. We never had a clap before. Make it happen.
So we're going to do a clap for you now. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Jabu. You are phenomenal, and as somebody who is struggling with balancing, I have come to understand that sometimes 80%
is okay.
I am talking to I have just had the most wonderful conversation with Jabu Seriti, the commercial director at GVK Siyazama Construction. She's the company's first female black director. If you are listening and you want to get in touch with her, her email address is jabus@gvk.co.za.
People can go on our website and see some of the wonderful work we do, and we're all over the country.
Please give us your website.
It's www.gvk.co.za.
And on that wonderful note, we'll clap for the one and only female black director at GVK. Please keep thriving. Please keep my number. Please come back into my dreams. Please, all of that. And one day...
answer your phone in the mornings.
Okay. Okay, I will. Call me at 7 in the morning.
Can we...
I was like, 7 in the morning, you're playing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm 7, like that too. Yeah. I know.
That's why she's a director. So, hopefully one day I'll have the millions to afford your services, okay?
No, you don't need that. Eh?
Okay, do it. Okay.
I can direct you to the places where the millions can be.
Okay, can be made.
Yes.
And on that note, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Guys, it's been wonderful. It's been a great ride. When we come back next year, the show is going to Sizofaka, that thing that makes the pot to be done. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time next year. I might do one show for you, but if this is my last one, thank you so much for taking care of me. Thank you, Palisa and Teddy, every week for just doing the things. This is a wonderful way to end the show with this wonderful moment.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Property, I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood, that's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
This is CliffCentral.com.